Welcome to the Wellness Podcast, a podcast that focuses on health information and your general well-being. Remember, right choices, healthy lifestyle. Now, your host, Nurse Sarah Shobolam. Welcome back to another episode on the Wellness Show. If you listen to the last episode, I started talking about making awareness on sickle cell disease. We really need to make awareness. And because September is actually a World Sickle Cell Month, so I have dived into it to talk about it because we all need to make awareness about sickle cell. So in the little way you can, kindly educate people around you about this disease. It's not a death sentence. And we don't have to condemn those that have it. And we also need to make people know that to stop this disease from occurring, we all need to get tested for the genotype, get educated. If you know you find yourself in a relationship, you are AS, your partner is also AS, you have to cut that relationship. You don't have to go further about that. Because how can we stop this? It's by getting tested and also knowing your genotype. Welcome to today's episode, and I hope you're all doing great. I have a guest on the show, and it's Nurse Victor Okewusi. He's going to be enlightening us on the preventive measures for sickle cell crisis. Stay tuned as I usher him in to talk more about that.
I will be talking about preventive measures on sickle cell crisis. Okay. And as you know that we are all aware of this sickle cell, it's not something we should think very much about in the negative aspects. Yes, HBSS people, they are special people. Yeah. And they should be attended to their friends, their colleagues. We should live with them happily and joyfully. So it's not something that we should see them and just ignore. They are loving people. Yeah. So we all know that briefly, let me just talk about the sickle cell before we are going to the preventive measures. The sickle cell itself is the genotype itself is always sickle. It's sickle. The red blood cells, their red blood cells are always sickle. Instead of being in a biconcave shape like a donut, just like a donut. So instead, theirs are just sickle. So when they pass through the blood vessels, they may not be able to penetrate well because they are sickle. But when we take these preventive measures, we'll be able to pass through. I'm trying to break it down to a level. So I will be able to understand. And the sickle means something like S instead of something to be round. Understand? So with the preventive measures I'll be talking about, it will help them to live well. So there's no point that a sickle cell patient is dying when they are young because there are some erroneous beliefs that the same way they give birth to them, they don't last. No. I'm presently nursing a patient that is 70 years old. 70
wow.
years old. And
80 wow.
years old. Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes. 70 years old. Yeah. 70 years old. And it's very fine. It's doing very well. Very well. He has a son, his son also HBSS, about 30 something years old. He just finished serving and it's very fine. It's very fine. So the preventive measures I'll be talking about are as follows. Number one, you have to take enough water every day. Enough water, at least 4 liters of water every day, which is synonymous to 8 pure water, 8 sachets water. This sachet water will sell around 10 naira like that. At least 8. It can be, even if you are sipping it, but they should continue drinking it.
Okay.
And when we talk to them, they say that, I can't be taking water like that. We can even add some things into their water, probably like glucose, this glucose D.
Okay.
You can add it to their water. Why they take it? Because the blood itself is made up of over 70% of water.
Yeah.
So the blood itself needs water. So once the water is there, the blood will be able to flow very well and prevent them from dehydration. So at least they should take 8 sachets water every day, which is almost to 4 liters of water every day. They should start, I'm not saying they just start drinking just like that. They can be sipping. Probably when they wake up in the morning, 2 glass cups of water. They can have, even, I'm not an HBSS patient, but I do take water to work because I love drinking water. So I do tell them that we are together. So let's have a bottle in your bag. Actually, the ones going to school or going to work, have this water in your bag and keep taking. You can just excuse yourself from here. Just take your water, just sip it. It's not something you can. I can drink water anywhere. Just I can take permission. I can drink. I can come inside even when I'm working to take my water. You are allowed.
The main thing is just that they have to stay hydrated always.
Very, very important.
Even if they don't want to drink water, they can alternate it with maybe fruit juice just to be taking to hydrate themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So it is very, very important. Another thing, I have friends. If I presently, I know a guy yesterday, he was brought in some days ago. So I see some business. My friend, EGSS, and he's fond of taking alcohol. He's fond of taking alcohol. And when they take alcohol, alcohol gets them dehydrated more. They believe they should, of course, they can do anything we are doing. They are just normal people, so we should live with them and they can do it. But even if they are not even EGSS, normally alcohol consumption in human is not too good for health. Because when they take alcohol, alcohol gets them dehydrated more. So once they get dehydrated more, there's not enough water in their bloodstream that will help them. So they need to avoid taking alcohol. Yeah, some smokes, I mean the adult ones, they smoke.
Okay.
And when they smoke, it affects their lungs. And once it affects their lungs, it affects their breathing. Yes, and you know, we have nicotine in cigarettes. It affects their blood also. So they have to stay away from drinking alcohol, smoking cigarettes, and the like. Very, very important. Yeah. Another thing is the aspect of taking their medication regularly, especially folic acid. Folic acid is very, very essential and very, very paramount. It's just one day because folic acid will help in the production of more red blood cells out. It helps in the red blood cells because normally their red blood cells is not the normal, the human red blood cells lives up to 120 days, but theirs is just like 30 to 40 days, 50 like that. So it's not up to 120. So when they take this folic acid regularly, it even helps the bone marrow to even produce more. And more reason why we say they should take more water is that when these their red blood cells, when gets, let me just say, get expired or it gets broken after that 30 to 40 days, the excess of it can form bilirubin like that, and it can accommodate into their bloodstream. That's why you see some people with jaundice, yellow eyes, and the likes. But when they take this more water, it helps them to eradicate this through their urine. The man I'm nursing presently, it has been a very long time that I've seen him with yellow eyes. Because it takes more water often. It's always with water. Always with water. Which is
so the yellow coloration in their eye, yes. Is it as a result of dehydration?
It's as a result of the bilirubin in their bloodstream. Due to the excessive breakdown of red blood cells.
Okay.
So once the red blood cells is being broken down, the excess breakage leads to bilirubin, which will now be accumulated into the bloodstream.
Okay.
What's the bloodstream? So the sign is yellowness, yellowish conjunctiva, that is the eye.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's so when they take more water, this helps them to, you know, eradicate this out of their bloodstream. When immediately they come to the hospital, the first thing we do is rehydrate them. Analgesic is not even the first thing here. We have to rehydrate them because they are dehydrated. In fact, when we just start giving them fluids, they themselves know that no, something has changed. Then we just tell them, what's not the difference? If you are taking water before now, won't that put you on bed? I mean, I presently, one of my clients, this has been over 7 years. He has never been admitted. Over 7 years now. He just came, I think last month, he came around here and he was admitted. Over 7 years.
Wow.
Yes, 7 years.
That person already knows how to manage himself.
Of course. In fact, when you even see her, you will never even know that this person is doing probably ABSS or something. Another thing again is they have to avoid some weather extremities, you know, probably too cold.
Okay.
Or too hot.
Okay.
So probably too hot and too cold.
So when you mean too cold and too hot, what do you mean by too cold and too hot?
That's the weather condition sometimes. Probably when they are going out, you see some will just only put on singlets. So once they put on ordinary singlets and they are going out and the weather is too cold for them, they can't bear it. In fact, sometimes even normal person might not be able to even bear the coldness of the weather sometimes. I react to cold. So once the fan is on for a very long time, I will have to switch it off. Either the fan, even in our office, when we come in, and I see the AC is too much, I have to leave, or I'm telling you. So they have to avoid that.
Okay.
They avoid that. And there are some people also, there are some people, they go for excursion, whereby they start climbing mountains. It's very important. They don't need to climb mountains because of the altitude, because of the oxygen level in nothing. So climbing of high, exactly. So it is very, very important. You have to look at that, because they would think they can just be climbing mountain, you know, just for excursion, they are climbing rocks and the likes like that. It's very, 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 very paramount. Another thing again is eating plants, fruit and vegetables. Some doesn't know this at all. They only feel nice in the morning, eat by the afternoon. They're very essential because they contain some essential nutrients, essential minerals, vitamin C. It contains like we don't ask vitamin B1, B2, B6, like that. Even the back of a watermelon is very high in dietary fiber, which helps to prevent colon cancer or constipation. So it's good they take, and watermelon has enough water also.
Yes.
So if possible, they can be eating water. Yeah, it has enough water and it's very, very good for them. So they can take in food, vegetables. So those things will help the blood more to function more.
Okay, so sorry, before you move on, I want to ask you a question. You know, mothers, especially people that nurse the warriors, most time they like to give this ugu vegetable, they will squeeze it and give it to them. What do you have to say about that?
Yes, it is believed that they normally, not even the ugu alone. I think that's pumpkin liver. I don't know. It's not only ugu liver alone. Generally, even blood tonic doesn't give blood. That's something we should know about. Even blood tonic doesn't give blood. What they do is that they give some essential nutrients, essential vitamins. Sure, they transfuse. That's only what gives blood. But all these ugu leaves, like, they help in the production of the red blood cells, and they contain some essential vitamins. What I'm saying is that generally, vegetables, the ugu you talked about, doesn't give blood. What they do is that they help the bone marrow to produce blood.
Okay.
Yes. Do you understand? What gives blood in this life is blood transfusion. That is what gives blood. Blood transfusion. You are giving blood to another patient like that. That is only. But there's nothing that gives blood. Even blood tonic. Blood tonic contains folic acid, contains some vitamins that will help in the production of the red blood cells from the bone marrow.
Okay, but do you know that ugu contain lots of iron, and we always try to reduce excess iron for the warriors, those that have HPSS.
That's why I said not only ugu alone. I was talking about not only ugu alone. So in HPSS, iron is not recommended because they have enough iron already.
Yeah.
So when they take more iron, it means they are overwhelming their bloodstream with iron.
Yeah, super right.
Yes. So at that time, other vegetables are very, very necessary. So that's why when they come in, we do call our nutritionists to come around to give them some breakdown of the food they can be eating.
So can you give us a breakdown of food just briefly? These are the things that you're expected to eat, should be in your diet. Can you just give us some breakdown for that?
Okay. For example, now, some of them believe taking unripe plantain. Unripe plantain contains iron, so they should avoid taking unripe plantain. They want to boil it and eat it with stew. Unripe plantain contains iron, so it shouldn't be. So what they should majorly, fruits, vegetables, they can eat their normal food, their wheat, their rice, their bread, eggs, also egg, important, fish, and before we can probably deduce what they can eat or finally gather what they will eat, we have to know the kind of people we are talking to. Are they the low class people?
Yeah.
Are they the middle class people?
Yeah.
Are they the high class people?
Yeah, yeah.
So once they are either low, so they can eat anything around, any domestic food around, they can. So that's not an adequate diet. So in the morning, they can even take probably pap. Some might not like pap. They can take tea, probably tea with bread or pap with moi moi or something. So then in the afternoon, they can just get probably vegetables alone or.
Okay, so can you continue with the preventive measures? Because I feel you are not done with the preventive measures yet.
Yes, yes. So another thing that is very important is preventing infections. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Preventive infections.
Very important because they're also prone to infections. And normally, prevention of infection is something everybody should know.
Okay.
Everybody. Yes. And the prevention of this infection through environmental hygiene and personal hygiene. Personal hygiene is very, very paramount. Even apart from the COVID-19 that we even have presently.
Okay.
Normally, we should always wash our hands. We should never try to put our hands in our mouth or eye without washing.
Okay.
You know, some can just go out, they just get something on the way and start eating with their bare hands without washing. So, and anything, of course,
there will be jams everywhere on our tables, and we would have touched them and we'll still put them in our mouth. So they should avoid that. They should always wash their hands regularly. In fact, everybody should always wash their hands regularly before putting anything in their mouth. And after visiting the toilet, they should always wash their hands with soap and water. When we say washing of their hands, not only washing with water alone, especially when they want to eat, not water alone. Water alone will just remove probably the dust, the dirt, but might not remove the germs, the microorganisms on the hand, but at least they can wash with soap. Do you get that, ma?
Yes, I got that.
Yeah. Now, about the environmental hygiene, the white will say cleanliness leads to godliness also. Yes. Yeah, so their environment must be very, very clean, because once the environments are not clean, they'll be inviting some invading microorganisms. They'll be inviting, actually, probably their gutters, once it's not clean, they have stagnant water around. You know, that can breed mosquitoes. And mosquito is not really good for them. It's not really, really good for them at all. So with the good environmental hygiene also, it's very, very important. When you go to some people's house, you see their house littered, all junks everywhere, you know, it's very, very important. They should take note of that.
Sorry.
So that is for the personal hygiene and environmental hygiene.
Okay.
Yes. I talked about mosquito. I was talking about mosquito the other time.
Yes.
And the next one I'm talking about is prevention of malaria.
Malaria.
By sleeping under NLIN. NLIN, that is long-lasting insecticide treated nets. It
wow.
is very, very important. It's not feel that I'm an adult though, I'm young, but I can't sleep under mosquito net. I have a mosquito net. I myself have a mosquito net. When I'm traveling or something, I have a mosquito net that I sleep under. So because when they do all these things, most of the people when they come, most of our warriors, our special people, when they come down with malaria.
That's it.
And malaria itself breaks down red blood cells. And don't forget that their red blood cells is not even up to 120 days before it starts breaking. The malaria itself, the plasmodium in their bloodstream, will still break the red blood cell again, even affecting the liver. That's why you see some of them will come in with protruding belly. That it means the liver is enlarged because of the plasmodium, because the plasmodium will affect the liver. Do you understand, ma?
Yeah, yeah.
And doing this, and most times there'll be sequestration crisis, it's shown by the plasmodium has invaded the bloodstream. That's the malaria now. First thing is done with malaria. Red blood cell is being broken, is breaking down and leading to anemia. When I say anemia, it means reduction of blood. So there'll be reduction of blood. And some kind of person, there's a particular organ which is called the spleen.
Okay.
In infanthood, the spleen is responsible for production of red cells, red blood cells. So at that time, the spleen wants to compensate for the blood loss, wants to compensate that. So the spleen will start shrinking. That no, I need to produce, let me just produce more blood. So the spleen will start shrinking. So at that time of shrinkage, it's called sequestration. So at that time, the spleen will be enlarged. That's why they come down with, we call it in medical, splenomegaly. That is enlargement of the spleen because of that sequestration crisis.
Okay.
Yes. The question causes affect the other spleen. So, because the spleen wants to produce more blood. So instead of that, they want to squeeze themselves. So that aspect of squeezing themselves is called the sequestration. Do you understand, ma?
Yes, I understand.
So they should always prevent malaria. And normally, when they are going home, there's a particular drug usually place them on. That is Paludrine. The doctor will place them on Paludrine.
Okay.
It's a prophylaxis for malaria.
Okay.
Not to prevent malaria. That is Paludrine. The doctor will prescribe it. That is very important. That they will tell you that they cannot be using drugs. So can't be using folic acid every day or something like that. They should always endeavor to use the folic acid every day. In fact, normally, even females, adolescents starting from 15, they should be able to be using folic acid. It helps them. It helps. Because once they start menstruating, they lose blood. That is why a female can never have a kind of blood volume a male has, because every month they lose blood. Every month they shed blood. So what is encouraging them in terms of that using of their drugs? Another thing again is they should allow their medications to be available. At least when they are going out, they should have at least some drugs in their bag. But sometimes they might go to work and might not, probably maybe they're on night duty or shift, they have forgotten. At least they should have one in their bag and have one at home. I don't say that I'm at work, I couldn't use my drugs. When they are skipping drugs, is not really good. So another thing that is very, very important is attending sickle cell meeting. Like I work in General Hospital Abeokuta. So we have a particular meeting for them. It's called the AGLOW. AGLOW. So every second Wednesday.
Sorry, you're too far. starts with the name.
Aglo meeting.
Okay, so what's all about?
AGLOW is a kind of meeting whereby all warriors come around every second Wednesday of every month.
Okay.
Yes, they come around, they share their experiences with the doctors and the nurses, they share their experiences.
Okay.
Talk about what happened during the past 1 month.
Okay.
They will take all their blood samples, check their PCV, look at those ones that are well others. So they briefly share their experiences and the doctor and nurses talk to them concerning their health. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got that.
So when they come like that, they do their full blood count, check their PCV, check their BBC, if there's any infection in their bloodstream. So those things are also preventive measures. So if there's any slight infection, I mean any slight range of infection present, they will deal with it. Probably they'll prescribe drugs for them.
Okay.
Yeah, go and use that. Instead of now coming down with it after probably 3 weeks again. So those are part of the prevention. And they should always attend to any discomfort. Promptly attending to any discomfort before it gets complicated. It's not that it's just normal pain. It's just normal. No. They should not see that. That is what affects some people. But it's just a normal pain. My tummy is just, it will come down. No, they should not do that. They should just visit a nearby hospital so that they can give their complaint and they'll be taken care of. And they should always keep a merry heart. I mean, a merry heart and they should be praying. When I say merry heart, I mean that they should always be joyous.
You need to repeat that side.
Yeah, what I said is that they should always be a merry heart. Yes, they should always be happy. They should always be joyful. No matter the situation, they should always be happy. But when they're happy, don't think they'll talk to others when they feel any. Like that, so it is important. And they should always follow prescribed exercises.
Okay.
They will tell them to do exercise. They should stretch their legs, their hands, and their thighs. They should stop. Another thing again is they should always observe rest as appropriate.
Okay.
As appropriate, they should always take their rest and they should sleep well. So I think lastly, I was just talking about that. Apart from the attending meetings, if they're around, they should always come for medical checkup at least twice in a year, checking their eye, checking their ear at least twice in a year.
Okay, so thank you so much for your time and also enlightening us on the preventive measures for sickle cell. So but before you go, you have a foundation. Can you tell us more about your foundation? Just
really
tell us about your foundation.
Yes, New Mind Healthcare Foundation came up 2016 when I was in basic school.
Okay.
I got the vision of giving hope to the hopeless. You know, to the hopeless, whereby I go to schools,
okay.
I talk to them about their health status,
okay.
Talk to the ladies about their health status and sexual immorality, sexual assault, and I enlighten them.
Okay.
And also, I have a special program for the warriors also, like
wow.
Talk to them. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Nurse Victor, for joining me. I am really grateful.
I'm delighted too. Thank you so much. It's something I love doing.
Wow.
So thank you, George.